So I've shared with you that at the end of each month, we were going to hear from one of you. And I encourage you to breathe easy because we had already pre-selected or had volunteers that offered to share their story. And I'm so excited for Penny to share with you all what God is doing in and through her. And so I wanted to pray for her really quickly before she read her scripture. So will you join me in prayer? God, I'm so thankful for Penny and the heart with which she serves. I pray that you will give her peace, that she will trust that the words that she has worked to put down on paper and to communicate, that those are your words, divinely inspired, and that her story matters, and the message that she will convey to us today is God-breathed. So, give us ears to hear your voice today as you speak through your servant Penny. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
If you're able, if you'll stand with me for the scripture reading, please. We're reading from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, and then Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. My name is Penny Mason. I am married to Greg Mason, and we attend First Service here. We have three children, Jonathan, Christy, and Matthew. We have seven grandchildren, three in Virginia, Aubrey, 8, Reed, 5, and Cole, 1.5, and four in Princeton, Brianna, 20, Nick, 18, Jacob, 14, and Ethan, 13. Greg and I have previously helped with Monday Night Meals, and Greg videoed the church service. I now sing in the choir, and Greg is over missions. We help with Vacation Bible School and in charge of the toddler room a couple of times a year. I wasn't planning on starting my testimony like this, but was led by God to do so. After Amy gave her testimony, which was, by the way, she set the goal pretty high, I was starting to doubt my testimony and wondering if it was even near as worthy as Amy's. I told Greg that I didn't know if my testimony was worthy. Of course, he assured me that it was. On the way back to church to pray for Amy, a little family that is part of my testimony just happened to be on the walking path. Wow. And that's not the end of that story. The next day, I was walking on that same path, and guess who was there? You're right, that same little family. This time, I was able to stop and share with them that I was having doubts about my testimony. Well, you can see what God had to say about that. Not once, but twice, God helped me to see that my testimony was worthy and that we had this. Before I left, Bryce had told me that they never really walked that path before. Amazing. God is great. I always thought I had a relationship with God. I went to church. I sang in the choir, did toddler room and helped with Bible school. Did I? I was raised by amazing parents, George and Judy McIntyre. We attended Faith Church and later merged and attended Hillside. My mother was an amazing person who very seldom ever told her church no. She was involved in just about everything. She helped United Methodist Women, choir, apple pies, salad bar, soup suppers, and not necessarily to my dad's liking, always volunteering his services to paint and be a master fixer in areas of the church. You just knew God was in her heart. I mentioned before that we have three children. In 1998, our one and only daughter came home from school, all bent over and in severe pain. I knew that she had previously had an appendectomy, so that was ruled out. We spent several days in the hospital on morphine to control the pain. After being released, we were sent to a specialist in Evansville. They said it was probably her gallbladder. After many tests and the doctor not finding any stones, the doctor spoke to me and told me I needed to make a choice. We either needed to remove the gallbladder or run a scope down her throat to look around. In doing this procedure, he might injure her pancreas and cause her once again to go into pancreatitis. Without praying about it, I quickly told them to remove the gallbladder. seemed like the right choice was made, and 3 days later, she attended the prom. Fast forward to her freshman year of college. Her boyfriend, who is now her husband, called his mom, who was a nurse. She told him if she was in this much pain, she needed to go to the ER. Long story short, we get a call from Adam letting us know that Christy is in the hospital at Terre Haute. Her blood counts are way too high. Longest 80-mile trip ever. The whole ride there, I was once again worrying and wondering what was I going to do, not to putting it on God's shoulders, but on mine. Back to the drawing board, we were sent to IU Med Center. We were told that the best doctor in the state of Indiana was there, and we were going to meet with him. He performed the scope surgery that day, the same one I made the decision for our daughter not to have. The doctor came out and told us she had chronic pancreatitis. She had a birth defect we knew nothing about. Everything went into her pancreas fine, but the tube where everything exited was too small. Her pancreas was supposed to be smooth, but hers had little tributaries like small rivers where her excess fluid was going. So for the next 6 weeks, every Friday, he was going to go down her throat with a scope, hoping that he would be able to stretch her pancreas. He was able to put a stent in and hoped that the drainage would exit there. In the meantime, she went down to 80 pounds. I tried once again to be the fixer and fix things and begged her to come home. We would start school the next semester. Nothing doing, she was staying. The last time that he was able to go down her throat with a scope, he found two spots on her pancreas and wanted to do a CAT scan and see what it was. We scheduled an appointment and after that a consultation with him for the results. 2 weeks of worrying came. We came home and, of course, I cried a lot and felt that I was the cause of the problem. After all, I was the one that gave the okay for the gallbladder surgery. Greg, on the other hand, went into action. He spread the word that our daughter needed prayer. She was on every prayer chain in Princeton. 2 weeks of worrying and wondering what was over, the day had come for the CAT scan. Me still in worry mode and Greg in prayer mode were anxiously awaiting results. We met with the doctor and he told us that the spots were gone. Monday at work, we returned to many questions and were able to share God is great. He healed our daughter. God is great. I then went back into mom mode. As a mom, I was supposed to be able to fix everything, right? It was all on me. I never seemed to take the time to pray about these things for my children. I just knew I needed to make them happen, forgetting just a few weeks ago that God had healed our daughter. As you can imagine, taking everything on my shoulders, I was a hot mess. Because I didn't turn it over to God, I suffered from anxiety and depression. Not long after that, my brother was diagnosed with cancer. He battled for 8 long years. During this time, I decided that now I needed to pray, but thought I would let the experts do it. George and I were fortunate enough to belong to a great choir family. My prayer experts were Betty and Zeke Smith, Phyllis and Henry Pohl, Jarman and Patty Perkins, and Steve and Sandy Nixon. I was convinced that this group of great people had a direct prayer line to God and could get the job done. In the meantime, we were there for him. As you can imagine, I tried to be the fixer. George then went on a walk to Emmaus. He came back a changed man. It seemed he was on a high. How could that be? He was fighting a battle. He came over to my house one evening and shared with me that he had decided to stop treatment. He was tired and ready to go be with his Father in heaven. He knew where he was going and told me that God and he had a special relationship. He talked to him every day and already had his tea time in heaven at the Master's. Did I have that same relationship with God? The next morning, I was listening to Caleb on the way to work, and they were playing one of my favorite songs. After the song ended, something happened. The DJ spoke and said, "Did you know that God has a special relationship with cancer patients?" Coincidence? I thank God. God just wanted to let me know that indeed he did have a special relationship with George and that he would be okay, and yes, he would be playing golf in heaven. Even though George didn't win his long-fought battle with cancer, he was a winner. God never left our side, gave us the privilege of being able to take care of George at home and share many great memories and times. During this time of helping George, I had neglected my husband. I prayed for George, but did not take the opportunity to pray and thank God for Greg, that great supporter that he had been. Taking from Greg, but very seldom, giving in return. 6 months after George passed, Mother fell and hurt her leg. It wasn't healing, and the doctor ordered x-rays. Once again, we as a family were hit with the big C word. Mother had stage 4 cancer. Once again, even though just months before I had realized God had never forsaken us or left us, I started wondering what could I have done to make Mother go to the doctor earlier and maybe had this diagnosed before it reached stage four. Once again, we became caregivers, and Greg was on the back burner. I was over there every day and helping to take care of her. Even then, I knew God was with us. We laughed, we cried, and laid by my mother as she was no longer able to leave her bed. I started worrying about who Mother was going to have as her new preacher, to be there for her, pray with her, and bless her with visits. I had once again taken my eyes off God, questioned, and trying to be the fixer. But guess what? Once again, no worries were needed. God had this. Mother didn't feel like getting out of bed, but insisted on going to church and meeting her new pastor. So we loaded her and her wheelchair up and headed to meet the pastor. I had spoke with Chris and told him about Mother and that she wanted to meet her new pastor. Well, I'm pretty sure it was love at first sight for both of them. He welcomed her with loving arms and spent many days visiting her, loving her, and praying for her. When she passed, Chris was there for our family. We were once again blessed not only to keep her at home and be with her as she slipped away to heaven. We were blessed by knowing, once again, that God had never left us or forsaken us. But at the same time, as many prayers by me went up for Mother, I once again neglected to thank God for my rock, my best friend, my husband. He always had supper prepared, bills paid, and dishes done. I sometimes very frequently didn't eat those dinners he so lovingly prepared, not feeling like eating, always tired, and ready to go to bed. I went to bed praying and thanking him for the blessings of my mother, but not giving him thanks for my husband, my best friend. In August of 2014, Mother passed away. Not too long after she passed, I met and talked with Amy Evans. I knew she was working with the Hillside Pre-K, but hadn't really taken the time to spend much time with her. I went to church on Sunday morning and saw Amy crying and praying at the altar. I asked Susan what was troubling Amy. She told me she had just lost her dad to cancer. I, being in a similar situation, sought her out, gave her a hug, and told her I knew that she was going through and that I loved her. Little did I know that she knew Mother, and they had shared many conversations while Dad was painting the daycare room. I know now that God had put us together. Amy and I became fast friends on Facebook. Several months later, she had her testimony live on Facebook. I approached her and I told her how much I enjoyed it and that someday we should get together and share our stories. At that time, I meant all of us together, sitting around a big table and sharing our stories. She asked if I would be willing to give my testimony, and I told her sure. At that time, I didn't realize what I was saying yes to. She meant by ourselves and that we would be the service. Whoa. Wait a minute, out of my comfort zone. After all, I had always been a peacekeeper, didn't like turmoil, a fixer, introvert, and a homebody. A lot of these things kept me from sharing or doing God's work. Soon after Amy asked me to give my testimony, I realized I couldn't do this on my own. I needed help, God's help. I started praying daily for him to put people in my life that needed to be there and give me the words he wanted me to share, to let me be able to let others know that no sin was too big that God would not forgive if you laid it at the foot of the cross, repented. I wanted to let others know that the love that they would experience would be something that they never experienced before, unconditional love, peace, and his amazing grace. During these many months of praying, God started coming into my dreams. You remember that little family I was telling you about? They were going through adoption and ready to get a child. And for the second time, thinking they had a son, the mom decided to keep him. God wanted me to let them know that indeed they would be given a child and that he was giving them a testimony to share. I struggled with telling them this for several days. Would they think I was crazy? Finally, I trusted in God and shared this dream with both of them. I remember Sarah telling me that it's just what she needed to hear. They now have that baby and their testimony is on social network. Sarah shared her faith in God and how that got them through. God is amazing. I was still praying to God for the words to share and putting people in my life that needed to be there. He was continuing to work in my life as our church formed the Daniel Strong Group. I was an introvert. Could I be a part of this group? I don't mind sharing with you that the selfish reasons of wanting to lose weight, I attended. God had other plans. He once again put the people in my life that needed to be there. Just as I had been praying for, amazing people. We share our love for God, our food struggles, our willingness to be the hands of feeding God. We also share and pray for each other daily, for our words and our deeds, that the words that we speak will be kind and soft. He once again gave me the resources and the people to help me get rid of my anxiety and to step out of my comfort zone. I continued to pray to God to be the words to share and had added that I wanted to be more like my mother. Is that what he wanted for me, to be more like my mother? Then something happened at work. Brad and I were discussing politics at work. He continued to discuss his views and asked me mine. I told him that I believed God had this and he was in control and that I was okay with that. Remembering that I don't like confrontation, he confronted me and said that I needed to stand up for my rights and speak up for what I believed in. I was devastated. Was I not who I needed to be? Maybe I needed to do these things. My husband once again comforted me and let me know that not everyone is the same and that God made me unique. Was I? That next day, on my talk with God, I told him I knew I was a work in progress and that I was proud to be the unique person I was. I no longer needed to pray to be like Mother. I let him know that in times of trouble that I will depend on him and know that he is in control, not me anymore, that I would turn everything over to him. I could depend on his amazing grace and his unconditional love. He was all I needed. I had been freed. I once again prayed that he would give me the words to share. As I prayed, "Thank you, Father, amen," I received one of the greatest gifts of all, a hug from God, goosebumps and a warm, fuzzy feeling. God is great. And as for several months, I had been praying for the words to share after that confrontation at work, which I believe he wanted me to hear. I was able to share with God that I was unique. I no longer needed to pray to be like Mother, but to celebrate the me he had made me to be. He gave me ears to listen and eyes to see that I am special to him. These words that I am sharing with you today, they're not my words, they're God's words. The words just came off my pen and wouldn't stop flowing off my paper. That day, praise God, I had a relationship with God. It was something I thought I always had. That day, I knew I did. And as always, times are not always perfect, but regardless, God will never leave us. Then I lost a very special 35-year-old man, Brandon Bill, to cystic fibrosis. He dated our daughter for 2 years and was like another son to me. He passed away on a Friday, and I read about it on Monday. Little did I know that on the day he passed, I was searching through my jewelry box and came across his class ring. I returned that class ring to his mother at the funeral home. She told me that they had found the box, but no ring. She was sure Brandon was thinking about me that day and that he loved me. I met his wife and his children and shared with them and let them know how glad I was that they had found each other. That evening, I had a dream. I was dancing with Brandon. I then realized that we were talking about and sharing what had happened at the funeral home, how I was able to return his class ring to his mom, meet his wife and kids, and let them know how happy I was that he had them. I believe that God was letting many know he was okay and indeed giving me the opportunity to tell him goodbye. Once again, in my time of grief, God never left or forsaken me. He gave me exactly what he knew I needed, a chance to say goodbye. As I was continuing to have a relationship with God, Satan was not liking it. As Toby Mack said, the devil won't bother you when you are living in sin. He will bother you when you are trying to get out. The devil was trying to make me feel unworthy of my past sins that I had already turned over to God. I had turned them over to God and repented several years ago. Why was I having these recurring dreams? Then came the walk to Emmaus. One day, Greg came home from work and told me that Tommy Evans wanted to sponsor him in this walk. I was so excited for him and encouraged him to take 72 awesome hours with God. He struggled with taking the time off work, doing to getting a promotion, extra responsibilities, and always being on call if something was needed. I continued to tell him how awesome it would be. No phones, no work, no worries, just God. He finally accepted the call. He came home and told me. I was so excited for him. He then shared that Tommy and Amy also wanted me to go. Oh no, I suffered from being an introvert, anxiety, and not getting out of my comfort zone. Was I worthy? Did I fit in with the women of God that had it all together? I wasn't sure, and Satan was sure putting all kinds of reasons I couldn't possibly go. After all these months of praying to God, I once again decided to trust in God, step out of my comfort zone, and go. I have now made a commitment to God. I am no longer a child of fear, but I am a child of God. I will share what he lays on my heart, will not be afraid of being ridiculed, and I will say yes to him. Doing this, God has never let me down. I will always try to keep my eyes and my ears on him and take time every day to be with him. I now know that Satan will always try to come between our relationship and make me feel unworthy, but he will not win. I know that we are all broken, and that through his amazing grace that I am clean. The last thing I want to share with you hits home. As you already know, I used to think as a mom, I could control anything. Not anymore. Jonathan had once had kidney stones. A couple of years ago, he had to have one removed by surgery. He was worried about missing work, money, and possible surgery. Aaron, his fiance, told him not to worry. It would all be okay. This time was different. I did not worry. I started to pray to God every day, "Father, please allow Jonathan to pass these kidney stones." His dad and I started texting Jonathan that we love him, God loved him, and to turn it all over to God. Greg was sending him scripture. 2 days later, I spoke with Aaron, and she told me Jonathan had passed 3 stones. "Thank you, Father." I continued to pray for them and their finances. A week later, Greg and I came into some unexpected money and were able to share some of that with Jonathan and Aaron that they needed due to him having to miss work. Aaron was crying and told us to stay on the porch. She had something she wanted to show us. She came outside with a book of daily devotions. She and Jonathan had been sharing each and every day. I then stood up with my hands in the air and I told Satan, "You're not welcome here in this house anymore, and that this is God's house." I kept my promise to God that I would minister to others and share without fear what he had put on my heart. God certainly blessed us that week tenfold when we gave it all to him. You see, all these things that happened in my life, my need to be a fixer, anxiety, unworthiness, baggage I carried, all made their way into my life. As Chris has been preaching many times, I was PC, practically Christian. He had given me many blessings, waiting patiently for the broken me to give him complete control and trust, to pray to him each morning, bask in his glory, and pray thy will be done. I have finally surrendered all I can now say I have a special relationship with God. I will end with sharing a quote from Nicole Johnson that fits very appropriately with my testimony. "Those who seek to be still and quiet will find a beautiful portal through which God's voice of love can be heard. A world that drowns in its interference. After all, it's God who said, 'Be still and know that I am God.' My prayer for all of you is to be still and know that he is God. He is patiently waiting to have that special relationship with all of us. And by the way, my husband, I thank God for him every day, that he may have a great day, and that together we will praise him. Our marriage has never been stronger."